Today on Real Life Radio.
When Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, it was Passover. He was the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. When he rose again from the dead, he was the first fruits, fulfilling the Old Testament scripture, but promising us eternal life, that we would never have to experience death that separates us from God.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, everybody. First of all, I want to thank you, all of our Real Life Radio listeners, for being so faithful, so kind. Keep praying for us. But listen, the reason why I'm talking to you right now is to let you know that we have an amazing, wonderful offer, and it is the book titled What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Dr. Charles C. Ryrie of Dallas Theological Seminary. Dr. Ryrie was a profound theologian, highly respected. Even though he is now in heaven, his work continues on. I was honored and blessed to write the foreword to this book. This book will help clarify the confusion that surrounds the doctrine of the rapture. You know, Jesus taught it, the Bible teaches it, but do you know it? Get a copy for yourself. What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Dr. Charles Ryrie.
What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Charles Ryrie. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, What Are You Talking About? Part 2. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us how to share the gospel in a way that others can understand. You see, many argue over whether or not Jesus rose from the dead, even though the Bible says clearly that he did. And the truth is, Christianity's relevance is anchored in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without it, our faith in him is empty and it's meaningless. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that if the hope God designed for us is only there for the here and now, well, it wouldn't make any sense at all. Hope, by nature, looks ahead to something eternal, and only God can show us that way. Now, with his message called, What Are You Talking About? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Do we know this in the 21st century? That we can say, yep, I used to be this, and I'm no longer. Can you say that? Can you say, I used to do that? I don't do it anymore. Not, listen, here's the great part. It's not that you just don't do it. It's that you don't want to do it either. That, how do you, Paul says, are you kidding me? Jesus is not risen from the dead? Then explain the incredible power of God that has changed your life. He says, if that's not happened, then you're still in your sins. Your sins are still like this. Look, just hook you and pull you along. Oh. Now, women, you're like this. When, I'm just basing this on experience. This week, Lisa and I went up to San Luis Obispo, took a little couple-day break, beautiful place. They have antique stores there. And Lisa would just, she's like this. Just, oh, wow. Okay, let's go eat now. Wait a minute. Oh, wow. Look at this. Women are just, it's like, it's, oh, look at that. Guys, it just happened that in that town, there's a, I don't know where the money comes from, but there goes a Porsche, there goes a Ferrari. So Lisa's looking in the windows of the stores, I'm looking out on the street, both of us back to back, ooh, ah, wow. Lusting, I'm sure, coveting, sinning. Oh, I need that thimble. Or, boy, I could sure get to hospital visitations much faster in a Porsche. Lord, don't you want me to have one? But we're pulled like that. But listen, do you remember the days when our sin pulled on us and we did exactly as it commanded? Yes. We even picked up the phone and made plans to sin. Yes. Hey, next week, you want to do that again? Now we don't do that. Our heart's been changed. He says, listen, Christ is risen. Proof is your sins have no power over your life anymore, and your faith is actively dynamic. Paul says, explain that one, will ya? Hallelujah. I love how practical that is. Under this verse 18, look at this. The evidence exists in our day, right now. Verse 18, then also, third argument, those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ have perished. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Watch, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The word wellspring means fence, barrier, guard, limit, borders. That's an awesome verse. That should be on our computers. That should be on the front of whatever Facebook or chat room, something or rather, whatever's. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows forth the issues of life. That's serious. Above all else, warning, he say, warning, warning, guard. Build a moat and a wall around your heart. What goes into it? Why? Because out of it flows the issues of your life. Listen, the reason why you may be perverted is because you indulge in perverted things. The reason why you may be materialistic is because you indulge in materialistic things. The reason why you're arrogant and self-willed is because you indulge in arrogant, self-willed things. How does that happen? Listen, I'm old enough to know or remember when the computer was invented. And they had a jingle back in those days. Garbage in, garbage out. Somebody would say, well, this stupid computer, I don't know what it's doing. I can't believe it just did this. Well, what is it doing? It's only doing what you asked it to do. It cannot do something that it's not programmed to do. And our hearts are the same way. Build a fence around your life. Eye gate, ear gate, right? Mind gate. Build a wall. Before I let her in, him in, that information in, how will it benefit my life with God? My friends, you do that and you'll shut down gossipers. You do that and you'll shut down liars. You do that and you'll shut down evil things. And boy, I tell you right now, you do that and you're going to be an oddball in this culture. I mean, our culture has gone wacko, evil, crazy, weird. And people are talking about some movie. There's some big movie out there that's in 3D. And I don't even know anything about the movie until I heard some guy say on the radio, well, you know what? It's a little too scary for me. This was a secular radio station, a news channel. And the guy says, it's too scary for me. A lot of blood and guts. And as soon as I heard that, I don't need that. You guys, the last scary movie I saw, I was in high school. It was The Exorcist. That's the last scary movie I saw. You want to know why? I got saved. Oh, well, aren't you holier than thou? No, no. I got saved and became a Christian and found out that stuff's real. Head spinning around and split pea soup flying out of the face. You say, what are you talking about? Come with me. I'm a pastor. We go to doors and I'm not going to tell you. I don't need that kind of stuff. Oh, it's just entertainment. Not where I come from. It's real, man. I don't need that. I don't need to see a movie. I'm in a movie. He says, those who have died in Jesus, well, then they've gone to hell. They've perished. And the Bible here is telling us that we know as believers, when a saint, when a brother or sister dies, we rejoice. You guys, we often call our funeral services here graduation services. Because that's more appropriate. Third and final point, we'll end right here. What are you talking about when you say, for God so loved the world? Are you crazy? In verse 19, we learn this, that God has placed within us the pursuit. Why? How? Because he loves us. Look at verse 19. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied or pitiable. I love this. Boy, do you hear Paul? Isn't he? Because listen, on the negative side, a non-believer would say, finally, that guy's got it right. You dopey Christians, you only have hope in this world. You're blinded. You're following a game. It's a joke. And you, I pity you Christians. Paul says, hey, I agree with you if Christ isn't risen. It's so great. He's saying, I would be right with you, brother. But the truth is, Jesus is risen from the dead. Now watch. In a sense, in a moment, I'm going to be speaking code. I have to be careful I don't speak Christianese and lose some of you. This is dangerous. When we say that for God so loved the world, and that we as Christians say, oh man, hope in the Lord, or my hope's in Christ, you and I know exactly what we're talking about. We speak that heavenly language. Okay, you come up and speak Mandarin to me, and I don't know what you're saying. I don't get it. Sad to say, I was born in San Diego, but I don't know a stitch of Spanish. I mean, I know like San Bernardino, Los Angeles, El Segundo, and Santa Ana. I know that. Burrito. I know that. But outside of that, I don't know nothing. I won't know what you're talking about. I wish I did. But listen, when we say, oh, hope in Christ, man, the world doesn't get that. It might as well be Mandarin. So what is he talking about? For God so loved the world. What? Because listen, justifiably, the world comes back and says, for God so loved the world. Look at this world. It's all messed up. God loved this? I wouldn't love this. And if God is love, then why is all this murder taking place? And if God is love, then why is all this starvation, suffering, and evil taking place? Read the Bible. He answers that at length. This is a world resisting the love of God, demanding its own way, telling him, stay out of my life. I'll do it my way. And it's a falsehood. That's the ways of man. We have the uniforms, we have the talk, we've got all the badges and whistles, but we've got no power. And my dear friends, listen, Jesus, when it comes to spiritual salvation, life here and now and forevermore, Jesus Christ, put within your heart the pursuit of God. The Holy Spirit does this. We are not, don't pity us, because we know the truth.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The word pity, or pitiable, by the way, in the Greek, is the word miserable. You ever hear that word? Have you ever seen Victor Hugo's Les Miserables? I encourage you, go rent the movie today. Well, that's Father's Day. Go do something else. But Victor Hugo's movie, Les Miserables, with Liam Neeson, the actor Liam Neeson, it's got to be the version with him in it. Why? It's all about salvation, the law, grace, and love. Victor Hugo wrote it that way. The miserable. How is the miserable, the pitiable, delivered? Love. The law can never deliver the miserable. It only condemns the miserable. God gives the law to show us our condemnation so that we turn and say, Jesus, save me. And he says, yes. And we are no longer pitiable. Look at this also, almost done. For God so loved the world that he has promised to welcome us at the end. He's promised to welcome us at or in the end. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have died. That is awesome. Boy, I don't have the time to develop this. Just write this down quickly if you would. What is Jesus saying? Or what is Paul the Apostle saying? This is amazing. Leviticus chapter 23. Jot it down for future study. Verses 10 through 11. God told the nation of Israel way, way back then, that you shall take the wave offering that is dedicated to the Lord, wheat, barley, grain. And it says, on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it or present it before the Lord. Okay? The wave offering, the first fruits offering, you wave it. What comes in, you give to God first. If it's your paycheck in this modern era, or if it's apples where you come from, the first of it goes to God. Watch this. You wave it before the Lord, it is the offering of the first fruits. Listen, in Leviticus 23:11, it says that you shall do this the day on the day after the Sabbath. Matthew 28, verse 4. Now, on the day after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, when it began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, but the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, but is risen." He is wave offering first fruits before the Lord. Jesus Christ is the first one resurrected from the dead, never to die again. Remember Lazarus? He died. Remember he died, and then Jesus resurrected them, but according to the scripture, he would have had to die again. That stinks. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He's the first fruits of the dead. The day after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, from the book of Leviticus to Matthew chapter 28, the scripture tells us that it's Christ that is raised and waved as the offering of first fruits. Listen to this. When Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, it was Passover. He was the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. When he rose again from the dead, he was the first fruits, promising, fulfilling the Old Testament scripture, but promising us eternal life, that we would never have to experience death that separates us from God. He is, listen to this, Leviticus 23:6 says that on the 15th day of the same month, it is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. John 6:41 says, "I am the bread of life which came down from heaven." He's talking about, the Bible's talking about the two same things. Pure, undefiled, holy bread, that if you eat of the bread, as it were, not bread, if you eat of Christ, you'll live forevermore. He's promised us all the way through to the end. And here's where we end right now. Verse 21, "For God has provided to us the way." What are you talking about? "For since by man came death," that's Adam. "By man," capital M in your Bible on man, "also came the resurrection of the dead." That's Jesus. This is great. Why do we die? Because the Bible says of sin. Well, how did that happen? Because of one man, Adam. You say, yeah, but Eve sinned first. Yes, she sinned first, but she came out of Adam. That's the only time a man can say that. We've all come out of women, out of a woman. Eve didn't come out of a woman. Isn't that freaky weird? Eve came out of a man. His name was Adam. And she was deceived, the Bible says, by Satan. Apparently, Adam was not there, because the Bible tells us when Adam saw her having fallen, sinned, the Bible says that Adam took of the fruit and ate also. Eve was deceived, the Bible says. Adam willfully walked away from God to be with her. You said, "That's so sweet." Oh, you know what? Stick that in your ear, because God probably could have made another woman and we'd all be fine. We'd all be in Hawaii today with no sin. Adam looked at her, looked at God. He was fine. God, her. I'm going to go with her. And he willfully enters into sin. The Bible says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness that is of God through faith in him." Jesus Christ left heaven, came to this world, took upon himself willfully our sins because he loved you so much, my sins because he loved me so much. And you see, that's a sad story. No. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And my dear friend, by your choice today, all can be well. And you can be on your way to heaven, forgiven. Heavenly Father, we pray and we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that right now, oh Father, that there would be those here, and I know the argument, I remember in my mind the arguments going on inside right now. And it's so dynamic because right now, as I prepare and as they prepare to hear the invitation to make a decision for Jesus, there'll be those in this room right now saying, "I can't do this. I can't. What if?" And all these acts of resistance in your mind going on right now. And when I give you opportunity to accept Christ right now, you're going to flip in your argument and say, oh, it can't be this simple. It can't be this easy. Oh, what else do I have to do? What good deed must I do to undo my past? Your mind and your logic right now could very well be in a place of torment right now. And I'm asking you to take a deep breath and relax. Because God so loved you that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins, to pay the debt for all the wrongdoing you've ever done. And you know this, when your conscience bothered you, that was wrongdoing, that was the Holy Spirit saying, what are you doing? And over the years, your sins have kind of racked up on a scale, and now you can sin up a storm and it barely bothers you. You've become calloused and cold-hearted. And the Lord today wants to cut back the dead skin of your unrepentant heart and give you a nice, supple, soft heart to the things of God. My friend, it's called conversion. It's called being saved. It's salvation. And it's yours if you want it. True worship must come through choice. And I'm asking you right now to choose Jesus. That would mean that right now you would say, Lord, forgive me of my sins personally. I'm not pointing my finger anymore at anybody else. I'm asking you to forgive me now. And I'm asking you to come into my life, God, and change my life. I'm asking you to do this because I believe Jesus died and rose again from the grave. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, What Are You Talking About? Part 2. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
So, Pastor Jack, our featured offer of the month is What You Need to Know About the Rapture. And it's written by Charles Ryrie. And Ryrie is a name that I recognize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Ryrie Study Bible?
Right.
I just put the two and two. I'm pretty smart, don't you think?
There you go.
But I'll tell you what, trying to find your copy of the Ryrie Study Bible.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, Davey, the Ryrie Study Bible is out there everywhere except if you're looking for the New King James.
Right.
There's a big story behind that. We don't have the time to get into all of it, but I can tell you this, that one of my most recent copies that were found. I have somebody that's actually looking for the New King James of Ryrie always because they don't make them anymore.
Right.
Dr. Charles C. Ryrie was a profound theologian, and he was the general editor of that project, the Ryrie Study Bible. If anybody has a Ryrie Study Bible in the New King James Version, it is a treasure. So hang on to it, everybody. But listen, we're talking about, I think you mean, Davey, a new book.
Let's talk about it.
Even though he's in heaven now, his family has put out this book through the wonderful people at Harvest House Publishers, and it's titled What You Need to Know About the Rapture. And Ryrie was an expert on what is known as biblical eschatology. So it answers a lot of questions. It causes people to come to a better understanding. You know, some people are being lied to today that there is no rapture.
Mm.
Yeah. People are saying that, well, no, it's if there is one, it's you know, this way or that way.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible makes it very clear there is a rapture. It pertains to the church, and it hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, with that, it is a doctrine that requires of us to be looking for Christ now. So if you think about it, Davey, it's very powerful. We are supposed to be planning and living, occupied till I come.
Yeah.
For the next 50 to 100 years, we make decisions that will affect the next generation.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, we are to be living with an eye toward heaven. Mm-hmm. Because the trumpet could blast at any time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. Being ready for it.
Yeah,
being
so ready. This is a great book for that. What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Dr. Ryrie.
What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Charles Ryrie. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.